You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be running out of door.
Come over here, kid. Why, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of water. You fry some garlic.
It's
and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. And you got to do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet. My country, 'tis of thee. I eat for social progress. I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay on there. Stay on there. Stay on there.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour here on KRCB. It's Michelle and Jordan, live in the flesh. And before I introduce our guests, we have a full house. Smells really good, too. Just want to do a quick shout-out. I was at the West End Farmers Market all day today, handing out... making some things, actually, and handing out samples of some recipes from my most recent book and selling that book, and grabbed a few other books from the archive and sold those too. And it's there on Donahoe Street adjacent to the De Turk Round Barn, and it is just such a nice market. It's one of our loveliest farmers markets, I think. I love them all, but this is the one of the newest ones, and it's just really perfect and perfectly located. And I used one of the dishes I made a bread salad, panzanella, if you prefer to call it that, using Gypsy Girl sausages. And I did it with Moroccan flavors and used her merguez along with the bread and grilled zucchini and grated whole frozen lemons, which is something we may talk about on an upcoming episode, the miracle of whole lemons and using them when they're frozen, which is amazing. And I did a tomato cumin vinaigrette on top of it. And her sausages are just so good. I was very, very enthusiastic about them. She learned from one of the best. She learned from Franco Dunn of One World Sausages. And not this Wednesday, but following Wednesday, August 13th, yes, the main feature story in the food and wine section of the Press Democrat will be about our local sausages, and you'll get to read all about, if you do read, you'll get to read about Tara and Gypsy Girl sausages along with Franco Dunn, and oh gosh, someone else, and now I'm blanking, uh-oh, and I also have a whole list of local places to get I guess what we call artisan sausages, because we have some great ones. And on that note, we also have some fabulous apples that are sitting right in front of me. It is Gravenstein season. Everything's early this year. I've been seeing naked ladies for 2 weeks, which just makes me panic. Those are so early. So everything is just at its frenzy of harvest right now. And I remember certain years, not all that long ago, when the big question was, will there be Gravenstein apples for the Gravenstein Apple Fair? Because they hadn't ripened yet. But now will there be? Because they're already ripe. And we're going to find out, and I think they will be. We have John, what's your last name, John?
Bown.
Bown, thank you. John Bown from Gypsy Cheese Company. Carmen, Executive Director of Farm Trails, joining us for the second or third time. Steve Dutton of Dutton Ranch, you have a lot to do with the Gravenstein Apple Fair, I know that. Allison, what's your last name?
Schneider.
From specific gravity cider. I can't wait to both hear about that and taste it for myself. And then we have returning second or third time, Jolie DeVoto of DeVoto Orchard Cider. And so good. So I think what we should do is start with specific gravity cider, because I can tell from looking across the table here that it's cold. And that just sounds so good. So go ahead and pour, and if you can hold up the glass to the microphone while you pour, we love that sound here on Mouthful. And you're one of the newer cider companies, I believe. Am I right?
Yes, we are. We've just come to market since June. We actually harvested last year at 2013, but we just bottled last month, or 2 months ago now that we're in August. And we're on, but we've been well received. Thank you. We're in Oliver's. We're in a bunch of the local markets right now, but we've just started selling in the area.
And where's your production based?
In Sebastopol.
Cool.
In Sebastopol. So our apples, the way we started is, if you know Paul Kohling from Nanamay Organics.
Yes.
So he's the great apple orchard man, the apple man as we like to call him. And he wanted to do something new besides his wonderful applesauce and ciders, soft ciders. So he wanted to start a hard cider company. And he's really the impetus for starting this company.
Oh.
And yes, he brought me in and another friend of his, Steve Howard, and the three of us started Specific Gravity Cider, but really Paul Kohling is the impetus to start this. He loves his Gravenstein apples. So this is, and we have two. This is our Specific Gravity, and then we also have a Nana May's Wild Cider. They're both, they're relatively still ciders. There's not going to be a lot of bubbles, but they are 100% Gravenstein. It's smells pretty much like fresh Gravenstein apples. Really.
Absolutely. And you made this during last year's harvest.
Yes. We harvested, you know, we made it at a winery, and we harvested right there at the beginning of harvest. So we had to bring our apples in, find someone where we could bring our apples in, and or our apple juice. And it's made pretty much like a wine. So we used wine yeast. We used... we've got no preservatives. All we have is yeast and nutrients, and that's how we made our cider.
It's really lovely, and it is. It's not effervescent. It's very pleasing on the palate.
It's off dry. It's just a hint of sweetness, just a hint, but not sweet, right?
Yeah,
our Nana May's is a little sweeter. And, it really smells just like and tastes just like fresh, crisp Gravenstein apples.
Now, were you part of the tasting today up at Shed?
No, we were not. That was DeVoto and Tilted Shed.
That's right, DeVoto and Tilted Shed. We will be getting to that in a little bit as well. But since the main reason that I have brought you all together today, or I should say Carmen has brought you all together, thank you, Carmen, for rounding everyone up, is to talk about the upcoming Gravenstein Apple Fair. And I know that there have been some changes. I think there's going to be a cider tent this year, if I'm right. And
yes.
Steve, what is your role this year? Are you doing a lot of the organizing?
I do whatever Carmen asked me to do, pretty much, and then show up and sell apples.
Okay. Is hard cider in your future?
If someone wants to buy apples from us for cider, sure.
So you're not going to turn into a cider maker?
Nope. It's hard enough. I have a hard enough time selling wine, so we're good on that.
And then you grow apples, but you also manage a lot of vineyards.
Yeah, so we do. We grow. My brother and I, we farm 200 acres of certified organic apples. And we're one of the biggest apple farmers left in Sonoma County. We put a lot of time and attention into our apples, and really have done well with our orchards. Last year we had a great crop, and.
How's it looking for this year?
This year, Gravenstein so far, we think we're going to about have a third of a crop. So we'll be 30% of what we had last year, we're hoping for.
What happened this year to drop the crop down?
You know, I think one thing for sure that happened was, you know, we had hardly any rain, and then when it did decide to rain, the gramophones were in full bloom.
Right, okay.
So you know, gramophones need, they depend on bees to pollinate the, right. The flowers to yeah. make the apples. So bees don't work in the rain or cold weather.
Yeah.
So that was one issue. And the other issue, we're finding out there's some literature coming out now, and because we were surprised how light the crop is. It looked better than it is. But we're thinking that even though we had some really cold weather during December of this last of 2013, mm-hmm. and apples need chilling time, they need cold temperature to set the buds,
mm-hmm.
that then we had some really kind of record January warmth.
Yeah.
So that offset, the literature saying that maybe it's offset the cooling yeah. time, and yeah. so that's helped along the tree to not have a good crop for yeah. some reason. Yeah.
At the fair, when you walk in, there's apples stacked almost right near the end, you know, almost adjacent to the fair itself. Do all those sell? Do you have to?
We've had years where we've sold them all and then had to pack up more on Sunday to bring
okay.
more. So, not, and that's only happened a couple times, but most of them sell.
Do you know, are they selling to people who are coming from other parts of the Bay Area and they want their gravenstein, so they have that tradition?
Yes, a lot of that. Cool. We hear a lot of that when we're selling uh-huh. apples. You know, that they lived here or they know about the gravenstein, and so that's why they're there buying them. Yeah.
And didn't you just recently ship them to Virginia from the woman that called the office? She used to always come to the Gravenstein Apple Fair.
From Virginia?
No, from Sacramento.
Oh, okay.
To get her apples for pie and such. And she's missing them so much that she had them shipped across the country.
Yeah. We haven't done that yet, but it's coming. We're going to do that. We just packed up some apples for the first time Friday.
On Friday?
Yeah. Yep.
Cool. Yeah, I know. I have friend. You manage my friend, Jim and John, you manage their vineyard. And I saw them.
Orchard.
Orchard, that's yeah. right. Not vineyard. Yes. They don't grow grapes.
Yes, they're one of the diehards. They're keeping their orchard, which yeah. is great. That's
and they,
absolutely
I think
wonderful.
They have, what, 15 acres,
15
I think?
Acres of apples, yes.
Yeah. Yes, I saw them Friday night, and they said, our gravensteins are already gone.
Yeah. So we're actually going to finish picking our gravensteins probably on Wednesday of this next week.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
So we will be completely done.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So let's talk about the fair itself, and all of you, any of you jump in, and let's just talk about what is going to be happening. I know... there's going to be what's going to happen with cheese, because we got gypsy cheese here.
Yeah, so this is going to be the first year that there'll be a real cheese presence, I believe, mm-hmm. at the fair, at least in the recent past that I know.
I brought
of.
Cheese last year for my cooking demo, but that doesn't count.
Okay, so it's been there.
it's been there, but it's not been cheese focused that you can taste and taste with cider, I would think.
Well, that's the whole idea, is that there's so many great cheeses, so many great wines, ciders. There'll be mead this year. And so the idea is to bring all those folks into the fair and actually let people enjoy all those great locally produced products right there at the fair, kind of integrated right in with the fair experience.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be some awesome cheeses there. And each cheese is getting paired with a wine or a cider or mead. And the producers will be there kind of talking to folks and explaining about their products. So people are going to be able to learn about what they're tasting and eating and hopefully enjoying themselves at the during that. And Farm Trails has done a great job of kind of pulling all these people together
mm-hmm.
to kind of get everybody on board and there at the fair. And I think it's going to be a pretty neat experience for anyone who participates in it.
And what tell us about Gypsy Cheese and what you'll have there.
Yeah, so we make raw milk goat cheeses. That's our focus.
Mm-hmm.
So raw milk, of course, is going to be cheese made from milk that's not pasteurized.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do use the goat milk. We like the kind of neat flavors you get from that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the cheeses we make is called Gypsy Rose, and it's my favorite of our cheeses. It's got a lot of flavor. It's a really kind of just neat, funky cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the cheese we're going to be bringing to the mm-hmm. fair this year. Hopefully people are going to have a chance to enjoy that. And we're going to be pairing it up with the local, actually, a mead producer down in Point Reyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the mead, we've
so
done...
So we should tell people what mead is.
Yeah, of course.
They don't know.
And I wish I knew more about it. I'm actually just learning about it myself. But generally, it's a honey wine.
Mm-hmm. If you read British novels, Thomas Hardy, for example... You'll hear lots of mentions of mead, and often they're drinking mead or hot mead, you know, during a winter holiday or something. That was my introduction, was, you know, as a
well, the
sort of the literature.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that I think mead is kind of an interesting reputation. People have either never heard of it before, or they think of it as this kind of strange foreign product, and they aren't quite sure if they're going to like it or not. But the producer that's going to be pairing with us is Hydra Meadery, again, down in Point Reyes. And they actually make a sparkling mead. If someone just handed you a glass of it and you tasted it, you'd think you're drinking just a typical sparkling wine or champagne made from grapes, with a little bit of a floral aftertaste that comes from the flowers and the honey.
Interesting.
And it pairs really well with our cheese, and so it'll be kind of fun to see how those interplay.
And whereabouts are they located? You said Point Reyes Station?
Yeah, they're just a few minutes north of okay. Point Reyes, right on Highway 1 there.
So they're probably near like the Point Reyes Winery and such.
Yeah, they are. I think they're okay. Just a few moments from there.
Okay.
Yeah. And I know that they do tastings at their property. They have a really neat tasting shed that they do by appointment only, I believe. But it's anyone who has a chance to go by there should check it out because it's a really neat product.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. I'm going to pitch a story about that to my editor. That sounds really great.
And there's in addition to us, of course, there's going to be a bunch of other cheeses and wines there.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of them are either from Sonoma County or just in kind of right across the border, like Point Reyes.
Mm-hmm.
And the neat thing is that with Sonoma County producing just a wealth of great artisan cheeses, that you can just from pulling from our food shed right here, you can get like a pretty long list of just really unique cheeses.
When it comes to cheese, you don't have to go beyond right here at all. And what I did last year when I did my cooking demo was I did a Grevenstein chowder with Redwood Hill Farm smoked goat cheddar, I think.
Yeah, they make a smoked goat cheddar. That's
the one I use. Yeah. It's so good in a chowder. And then I topped it with bacon, so of course everyone loved it. But topped with bacon, and then with this little drizzle of creme fraiche and nutmeg, and that smoky depth, which just goes so beautifully with Gravenstein's. And I had a glass of Devoto cider alongside. So it was really good. And I remember when you were here, Jolie, with your cider for the first time, and I tasted it, the first thing I thought of was cheddar cheese. It's really good, high-end cheddar cheese.
Great.
So how was the tasting up at Chateau? And we're going to get the microphone over towards you a little bit.
So we just did a cider and cheese pairing at Healdsburg Shed just a few moments ago, and it was great. It was East Coast meets West Coast cheese and cider, so kind of picking the best from what the country has to offer. And
so the cider movement is happening not just locally. It's happening all over the country.
It's happening nationally, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I would say some of the most famous producers are definitely on the East Coast because they have a very long tradition of apple growing, especially cider apple growing.
Right. Johnny Appleseed didn't plant apples for pies.
That's right.
Apples for cider.
That's right. And I want to bring it back to the Gravenstein Apple Fair on the 9th and 10th. We're so excited to have a craft cider tent at the Gravenstein Apple Fair for the first time this year. The tent will be featuring five local producers, and those local producers will all be featuring a Gravenstein apple-based cider. So as we just tasted, Specific Gravity does this gorgeous kind of farmhouse-style cider. And our style is completely different. Tilted Shed is totally different, and Troy is totally different. Mm-hmm. So is Boonville.
Now, Boonville and Troy I have not tasted.
Well, you will be tasting them this upcoming weekend.
I won't be there.
So sad.
I was going to be doing a cooking demo, and I was going to actually be there all day, both days, and I have to be on the East Coast.
Oh, we'll miss you. We'll save some cider for you.
Thank you. Next year, I will be there with bells on. I'm already thinking what I can do next year for the fair because, you know, I can walk there. It's like a 4-minute walk from my house.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, let's talk. I know that there are some cheeses in the building right now. And there's
more cider.
As I was saying, there's a cider we haven't tasted. So I'm going to pass my glass over. Mine's the one with the lipstick, but I don't think any of us are sick here. I'm not worried.
Some Devoto cider.
So which one is this that we're going to taste next?
The Devoto.
So this is our late season heirloom blend. It's It's not Gravenstein based, but the producers at the Gravenstein Apple Fair will have a chance to feature their other ciders during the Meet Your Cider Maker sessions, will be both days. So all the producers will feature something fun and other than their Gravenstein ciders.
So what apples are in this one? This one is very effervescent.
Yes. Well, this is mainly Arkansas Blacks, Black Twig, Black Jonathans. We have some Pippins, Braeburns, Granny Smith, and Davison apples. Mm-hmm. So it's a big blend. It's a great blend.
When it comes to making cider, I know that when in making wine, the moment of harvest is such an important element. You know, you're looking for sugar at that right point, but you're also looking for flavor, and the combination of flavor and enough sugar, that sort of thing. Is there anything comparable with picking apples?
Absolutely. Okay. So right now we could be pressing a Gravenstein cider, but we're waiting until the moment when the apples are properly sweated, which is basically when you can press your finger into an apple and it leaves an indentation.
Oh, really?
That's when the apple's ripe for pressing. It's going to be the most aromatic, and the best juice comes from apples that are properly sweated.
And
we actually test the bricks.
You do?
And
okay.
We do an iodine test to make sure that all the starches have converted into sugar.
Mm-hmm. And when you say sweated, does that process happen with them on the tree still, or is that something that takes place after they're picked?
It takes place after they're picked, yes.
Yeah, because I know I live with a lot of trees right near me, and I noticed that a lot start falling to the ground well before they're, because I picked one up off the ground and bit into it a few days ago, and it was not ready. Mm-hmm. There had not been a lot of starch conversion yet.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
But yet they said, what makes them fall to the ground like that? Other than I would think a heavy wind would, but are there other things about the physical qualities?
There are. So, usually worm damage. The first apples you see fall off the tree usually are from worm damage.
Oh, okay.
So if a worm gets inside the apple, that'll make it fall. Hopefully we try not to see too much of that with what we're doing. You know, in June, there's always some apples that fall. They'll actually, especially with Gravenstein, they have a very short stem. Mm-hmm. So if there's clumped together in a, you know, two or three or four together, they'll push each other off. Their stems
right,
are short.
Yeah.
They'll, as they grow, they push one, one will push off. Now, so you see a lot of that happening.
Yeah. Do you have to go out into the orchard and remove blossoms so that you don't get huge clumps and they fight with each other? Is there going to you do much of that?
We don't. We used to when we farmed conventionally years and years ago. Uh-huh. We would manipulate the crop that way, but not anymore.
Okay.
We don't. We just, whatever happens is going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is there a philosophy behind that, or is it sort of arbitrary?
It's, you know, with Gravensteins, it's just, you know, with the weather in the springtime, we just hope that we're going to have a nice crop. Everything's going to be fine, have a nice crop. And if it's a big crop, then usually they self-thin by pushing each other off. They'll push each other off. The apples that stay on the tree will get big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Do we know, anyone in this room know how many acres of apples are left in Sonoma County?
There are less than 2,000. I think it's about 1,800 acres.
And do you think it's going to sort of even out at that level, or is it going to go lower?
I believe that it will even out and may go somewhat lower. It depends on what happens. You know, the cannery, the Manzana products in Sonoma County and Grayton on Green Valley Road, the last cannery in Sonoma County has been bought by a French company, French co-op, and they are trying very hard to keep apples in Sonoma County. They're working hard at it. They're paying very good prices.
Oh.
They want as many apples as they can get.
And so they're going to be producing what there?
Produce the apple juice, the apple juice, the apple sauce, and vinegar.
Oh. Okay. They're going to continue that.
They make conventional and organic of all three of those.
Okay. When did that purchase take place? I missed that.
The purchase was in 2000 and the beginning of 2013, I believe.
Oh, okay. I was busy. Okay, so French company bought mint.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, and they've pumped a lot of money into the cannery down there. It's great for the it's great for the apple industry. It really
is. That's really good.
It really is. It really is. So, you know, the what I see the biggest problem with the conversion from apples to another crop is you know, the transfer of property from generationally or from owner to owner. You know, the property's worth so much, or inheritance tax gets involved that it drives the price of the property up, and you know, when you buy a piece of property for $60,000 an acre or more, the only thing you can grow on it is grapes to make the property pay for itself.
Right.
Yeah.
And that could change.
Well, let's hope so. That'd be great if the apple industry does that.
Well, yeah. I know there was a point at, what was it, the end of the 19th century when we were pulling out grapes and putting in apples.
Yeah, sure.
For a couple different reasons. So, you know, we may not live long enough to see the swing. And I always think, well, grapes are better than houses or buildings.
Very good, Michelle. I like that. That's good philosophy.
If it stays in agriculture, you know, farmers will farm what is selling.
Yep.
So just keep it in agriculture.
That is correct. That is absolutely right. Because, you know, houses are the last crop.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Carmen, let's hear from you now. You have been executive director of Farm Trails for 3 years now?
No, since, let's see, September in 2012.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I know the fair has, that seems to be one of the things you've done. You've changed the fair a lot in going back to what it used to be.
Exactly.
And that's been just so welcome.
Very dedicated to taking the fair back to its roots. So last year we took the fair back to the historic footprint, which people were very pleased to see. And we also brought back some of the farm emphasis, like with the sheep shearing demonstrations mm-hmm. and the blacksmith. And this year we actually created a category called the farm vendor. So we're trying to encourage our member farmers to have a really affordable way to come to the fair too and sell their products.
Oh, great.
And new this year, besides the artisan cheese tent, is the do-it-yourself tent, which I'm really excited about. So that's trying to revive those old homesteading skills, such
as... I bet fermentation is involved.
Exactly. Fermenting vegetables and grapes and apples and cheese making. The beverage people are going to do a mozzarella making demonstration.
Oh, great.
I hope that we can connect the dots enough to have the cow milking demonstration from McClellan's Cow make its way over to the do-it-yourself tent for the mozzarella demo.
What a great thing.
Yeah. And then we have, you know, fiber is having a great revival in Sonoma County with the Valley Forge.
The Mercantile.
Mercantile and Wool Mill. So Ariana's going to be there and Casey doing, they're going to help with the sheep shearing. And then also she's going to be in the do-it-yourself tent with needle felting.
Talking
about
great.
The fibers. And Lou Preston's going to come and do grain threshing. He's growing the ancient grains up at Preston of Dry Creek. And what else do we have? Oh, apple sauce making and canning. People forget how to, you know, very quickly within a generation. If you don't learn that, you lose how to really preserve the food. So,
oh, that sounds really wonderful. And you know, the whole fiber revival, I find just so heartening. I guess is one of the right words. And have you seen the yurt?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I haven't had her on Mouthful yet, but we have talked about it. This woman made, 50 feet in circumference, all wool felted. And I wanted to live there. And even the way she made the lid, because it goes up conically for, you know, the roof of the yurt, and then had a lid to keep the rain out, it is a lid. It's not a roof. It's this little thing. And she held it in place with an umbrella so that it was hooked to the curvy part of the umbrella. And that's what kept it in place during the rain. And it worked perfectly. So, yeah, that yurt is truly, truly amazing. There's going to be cooking demonstrations too, right?
Yes, the chef's tent is a long-standing tradition, very popular, as you know, always packed. And so we'll have three chefs each day preparing a dish of their choice with Gravensteins, of course. So we really want to feature the Gravenstein. And we have, you know, the apple fritter people and apple pies and
apple
ice cream from Nimble and Finn.
Is there an apple pie eating contest?
There's an apple pie eating contest. There's an apple pie baking contest. So that takes place.
You can enter your pie.
You enter your pie, and then the judges Saturday morning do all the tasting, and then I think they announce on the main stage at 2 o'clock the winner. We have caramel apple eating contests. I got it wrong last year. I was looking at the pictures. I was like, That doesn't look so difficult. I mean, a lot of kids, three kids lost teeth in the eating contest, but they're all eating, like, you know, with their hands. I mean, using their hand as holding the stick. But apparently, I learned, it's supposed to be a hands-free contest.
Yes, your hands are supposed to be behind your back.
So this year, it will be more challenging. And then we have a juggling contest, too.
Juggling apples?
Mm-hmm.
Of course. You got to get you to the mic.
Steve Howard has won the last few
years. Oh,
really? Yes,
cool.
Yes.
And then, of course, also there's two. Are there two stages for music or one?
There are two stages for music. So the music alternates on the hour. You know, it moves from one stage to the mm-hmm. other. And then the Life on the Farm arena, there's music for kids there. So Jim Corbett is there with Mr. Music, mm-hmm. and Allie Weiss and Warren Mann. With mini music, so they'll be performing for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to mention that, too. There's so many things for children at the Apple
Fair.
It is
a great fair for kids.
We have the Waldorf crafters from Circle of Hands who are providing hands-on activities all day long for the kids. And then the Schultz Peanut Naturally Museum will be there with environmental activities that are all hands-on. And we have giant bubbles again. We have stilt walkers. We have the entertainment.
The stilt walkers, that's right.
Yeah, the hula hoopers.
Hula hoopers.
Yeah.
What about the old farm machines? That's always
I love
the old engine display is definitely an anchor of the fair that will.
Now, do you have the train too?
No more train. I think that became, you know, it is becoming more litigious, this culture that we live in. And I think.
Yeah, okay. I love that train. But there's just...
Carriage rides.
Carriage rides.
Stone Horse Farm with the horse-drawn carriage rides.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's even better.
Yeah. Puppet show. So lots for kids all day long.
Yeah. And if you go, whether you're a kid or not, don't miss the giant bubbles. And bubbles make anybody a kid again.
Yeah.
And the giant ones are just so amazing. So amazing. I think we have another cider to pour, don't we?
We do have another cider.
Okay, here, I'm going to pass my glass this way.
Actually, let's do yours first. This one's a little sweeter.
What I want to do now is I want to talk a little bit about farm trails in general. If I have it right, it was founded in what, 1972?
73.
Okay. It's the longest running such organization in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so where are things with farm trails now? And part of the reason I ask is, number one, I love the map.
Yes.
And when the map went away for a while, I was really sad. And it's like, I'm not going to use my smartphone to, I just want that map in my glove box all the time.
Yeah.
But yet at the same time, I know you have to make adjustments to the age of the internet. So how is farm trails doing, taking those things into consideration?
Well, we have invested in a beautiful website that Dan Gilbert designed. I love our website.
And it's very easy to navigate. Thank you.
Good. And so it has a multi-level search that really dials in specifically what you're looking in, plots it on the map. And because of, you know, some resource issues that we had for a few years getting back on our feet after 2012, we decided to take a hiatus for the mapping guide and thought that we would just do it online as a dynamic living document.
Mm-hmm.
And we did have a lot of people like yourself that really wanted the physical map in their hand. And so we have a great partnership with Sonoma West Publishers.
Right.
And in a few weeks, we're going to have the 2014-15 mapping guide.
Oh, that's great.
Printed again.
You know, and it's not that I am like so not a Luddite.
Yeah.
You know, I love technology, but I want something when the electricity's off. There's certain things I want, and one of them is that map. And there's just something about having that map with you that on the spur of the moment, it's like, oh gosh, I'm in Sonoma Valley. I have 2 hours before my next appointment. Let me look at the map. Where can I go? You know, that sort of thing. And it's also something you can mail to people who are going to be coming to visit. You can make notes on it. You know, you can just take it right then. You're at the farm. And it's like, I don't want to forget this particular thing. And you make your little notes. I'm really happy to hear that is coming back.
We are too. And we're also bringing back the Weekend Along the Farm Trails.
Oh, good. When will that be?
So that will be September 27th and 28th. So this is the historic weekend where our member farmers open their barnyard gates to let the public come and see what it's like on a working farm. And they get to take tours and have special demonstrations mm-hmm. and tastings. And it's a really popular event that has, uh-huh. again, you know, it's been a few years since we've produced it, and uh-huh. we're very pleased to be yeah. bringing that back.
Yeah, it's a lovely event.
Yeah.
Really great event. You had an event, I think, a few months ago, right?
We had our second annual barn dance, which I think is really going to become...
Yeah, I went. My friends who have the apple orchard mm-hmm. Took me to that. It was a great day.
That was amazing. We love Daniel, Caden, and Mariana from the backyard, mm-hmm. and they cooked this feast, and it was sourced almost entirely, except probably for, I mean, the sugar.
Salt
and the
pepper.
Salt, exactly,
yeah.
From Sonoma County. Mm-hmm. So that was fabulous, and we had our artisan cheesemakers there and cider makers, mm-hmm. and it was a really sweet event. Cahoots played. It was at Dutton Ranch.
It was right, yeah.
Fun,
it was lovely.
Fun barn dance.
And I know the year before that it was out...
At Kathy Tresh's.
Right, and Valley
Two Rock.
Two Rock. Mm-hmm. Two Rock. So are you going to move it each year?
I think we will.
Okay.
Yeah.
Steve's.
Thank God.
Yes.
Thank God.
How is membership?
Membership is good. We're, Farm Trails has historically had about 100 farmer members mm-hmm. and 50 to 75 partner members, associates. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are right now.
Oh, okay.
And, of course, throughout the history of Farm Trails, there have been a lot of small farmers who, you know, just had farm stands, and now that's shifted a lot with the farmers markets mm-hmm. and the CSAs. And so at this point in time, except for these special tour weekends, a lot of the members are wanting the public to come see them at the farmers market.
Right.
So that's a big emphasis for us, too, the farmers market members.
Uh-huh, sure. And what are you finding age-wise? I'm seeing, because I go to 2, 3, 5, 6 farmers markets every week. And one of the things that, again, is really heartening is there's just this surge of young farmers.
Absolutely, yeah.
And are they also joining Farm Trails, or are they focusing more on, farmers markets and their CSAs?
We have a lot of young farmer. I mean, well, we have a lot of new membership, and mm-hmm. and many of them right. are the young farmers. And uh-huh. I think the Farmers Guild is doing a lot to support.
They were just on, I think, two weeks ago. We had the Farmers Guild, mm-hmm. right? And last I checked, they were doing a crowdfunding barn funding. Mm-hmm. Last I checked, I think 2 days ago, they were like 92% of their goal. So doing really well.
Great.
You look like you were going to say something, Steve. Jump on in.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you weren't?
No, I'm
okay. Now, are you on the board? You're on the board,
yeah.
President? Still?
No, I'm not the president. I haven't been the president. I'm the treasurer.
Oh, okay.
I came on the board a year ago, April, I think it was, mm-hmm. or March, and so have helped try to help Carmen make a big turnaround here with Farm Trails, and uh-huh. and she's done very well. Done a lot of hard work, and it's because of her that Farm Trails is doing as well as it is.
There were rumors for a while that Farm Trails was going to die, and I was just devastated. And then you started hearing, no, it's coming back. Don't give up. It's okay. Mm. So I'm really, I watched the death of Select Sonoma County,
yeah.
which
yes.
was really sad. That was just, and you still hear people wanting to start things like Made in Sonoma and that sort of thing. And it's like, oh, it's just, it's really a minor tragedy, but a tragedy nonetheless that, we just somehow weren't able to build on the success of Select Sonoma County because it had really gotten the word out there about Sonoma County beyond our borders and also here.
It was very cutting edge when that was going on.
Yeah.
I mean, there was nothing like that around.
Yeah.
Now there seems like there's so many groups, even groups that are trying to do the same things Farm Trails are doing that, everyone's trying to, pull a parallel line with
locally?
What's going on. Yeah. The Go Local guys, those guys are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
slow food. Yep. So
yeah, slow food tends to reinvent the wheel a lot, I think.
Yeah, I can. So as Gypsy Cheese Company, we just joined the Farm Trails, and within the last year, and for us, we're new to the area, new to the business, new to this whole world, and one of the neat things about a new younger company coming in and joining Farm Trails is that it really ties us into kind of the heritage of Sonoma County's agricultural history.
Absolutely.
And it kind of just lets us kind of carry on the tradition and be a part of it. Mm-hmm. And that's just, for us, it's really neat to be a part of this organization that's been around for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And it really makes us feel part of the whole heritage of the area.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the things that Farm Trails has that I don't think anybody else could really replace that or mm-hmm. kind of carry on that tradition in the same way that Farm Trails does. So that's what's neat about it for us.
When did you arrive here?
We moved from San Francisco, Lauren and I, my wife, about a little over 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and settled in Valley Forge about a bit over a year ago now, and started our company about a year ago.
What possessed you to become a cheesemaker?
Well, first of all, just love cheese. That was pretty
good
much
reason.
A passion for cheese helped.
You can tell I do. I'm chewing.
No, but I think this does just kind of getting back on the subject of new, younger people coming into the agricultural industries and food production and craft mm-hmm. food production industries is that we're living in the city, kind of doing the city and career thing. And
what were you doing?
I'm an career? Attorney by trade.
Oh, okay.
I still do practice a bit of law.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to get rid of that, but you know, it's going to be
comes in handy now and then, I bet.
A couple of years before I could hang up that. But and so we always kind of had this idea that it would be really neat to kind of go out and join the world of food production mm-hmm. and kind of get a whole different lifestyle going. We had a son, and we thought it would be a great place to raise him. So we moved on out, and we just staked our claim out here, and we've really enjoyed it. It's mm-hmm. been a neat experience. And we've just met so many wonderful people mm-hmm. in Sonoma County, all the people that have been in this industry for generations, like the Duttons mm-hmm. and other folks. And it's also neat to meet other people like Jolie from DeVoto, just younger. Well, your family's been in this for a long time, haven't they?
Yeah, since the mid-70s.
Okay, mm-hmm. So you're not the best example, perhaps, but you're more in Steve's camp. But other people like us that are new to the area and are...
The Benedettis, going back several generations. When I first moved here, I went out one day, somebody said, I was moving over here from Solano County, and somebody said, oh, we heard about this little place for rent on a farm. And I went, and it was the Henning Ranch out on Old Lakeville Road, number 3. They had just sold their dairy cows, but it was, not even a mile from Sleepy Hollow Dairy. So nearly for my first decade, I lived on the Henning Ranch across the street from the Flukini Ranch. And so I felt like I'd moved into a Thomas Hardy novel. And I shopped at that point. They say there were farmers markets. They say the farmers market was founded in 1968. I never saw it, but I had a route, you know, and I would drive to Petaluma to Miller's. This is partly for your edification, John. I would drive to Miller's Drive-In Dairy, which was on Petaluma Boulevard North. Milk, unhomogenized. I think it was mm-hmm. also raw in glass bottles, cream in glass bottles, and it was a drive-in.
Wow.
And they had butter. And you drove in, and then I would go out to Bodega Bay, and I would buy salmon from a fisherman. There was the Palace of Fruits. And it was, you know, he went to the wholesale food market. But he was still this great local guy, and I can see his face. I can't remember his name. And for a while, there was a little fruit stand that was only open seasonally that was on Highway 116 just outside of Cotati. It's sort of like flea market looking ish now. And there was a video rental store there, I think, in the... mid-90s, but all these places. And then at one point I discovered Traverso's, which became, you know, for me, central to everything. And at the same time, you could drive to San Francisco from where I was in Petaluma in 35 minutes. The first traffic jam that was not related to a car accident was when Christo put his running fence up in 1976. Mm-hmm. And if I have it correct, those two things, Christo's running fence and the first gas crisis, are the two things that put Sonoma County on the map. Because first of all, people came from and I used to go, you know, if I went dancing, you know, which I did a lot in San Francisco or Berkeley, and you meet some guy, you know, it's like, oh, where do you live? And I said, Sonoma. And they're, oh, you're not going home tonight. What's it take, 4 hours to get there? And I just knew... I knew it, the discovery was inevitable. Mm-hmm. And I never said, no, it takes 40 minutes. But it would happen. It happened. And it happened. First, there was Christos Fence, and people came. And they would drive however long to get there. And it's like suddenly they're there, and the traffic was stopped. But at the same time, with the gas crisis, people in San Francisco and in that area, they discovered that they could take a day trip. They could come up to Sonoma, the town of Sonoma. They could hit, you know, three or four wineries. They could go to the cheese factory and go home, and they would still have half a tank of gas. Mm. And it was after that that you started to see more and more people coming.
Yeah, and what I would say is, you know, speaking for Lauren and I, we're probably one of those people. For better or worse, I think that a lot of the young people that are coming up here and engaging in all these neat craft food businesses and agriculture and stuff are people that have come up for the weekend from other places and have just discovered that they've just found paradise. And some of us have moved up here to try to see if we can kind of build on what people have done. And I think it's... Mm-hmm. I think it's neat. For better or worse, it's just, you know.
The people who come, who do what you are doing, I welcome with open arms. Absolutely. The ones who come and want to live the country life and buy their little house in the country and then start complaining to their supervisor that they don't like the way things smell. They don't like the smell of cow pies coming from their neighbor, that sort of thing. Or they don't like all the fruit flies during harvest. Those people can go somewhere else.
The tractors in the morning, yes.
Spraying at 3 o'clock in the morning during the springtime. Mm-hmm. You have to. If you're an organic farmer, you have to. Yeah,
absolutely.
If you move to agricultural country, understand what agriculture is about.
Absolutely. I always liken it to, you know, if you move in next to the airport and start complaining about the airplanes, something's wrong with you.
Exactly.
So you want to live where it's beautiful, where there's a little give and take.
Yeah. Yeah. And...
See, I just love all that stuff.
Why would you move here without wanting to just embrace every part of it?
Yep. And understand that it's all hard work. You know, that wine doesn't come just, you know, off the vine and one day just becomes a bottle. Then the cider just doesn't become in a bottle. It's a lot of hard work to get it there.
Yeah, we have the cleanest milk in America, certified by third parties, but... It comes from cows. It comes from cows.
Well, that's the great thing. I think just hearing Carmen talk about the Gravenstein Apple Fairs is like a forum for people to come in from out of the area and interface with all these farmers and kind of get a taste of what it's actually like, what these people are doing. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's pretty neat.
That makes me think of something else to ask you, Carmen. Farmer members and then supporting members. What'd you call them, the other ones?
Partners.
Who should become a partner? I know that you have certain businesses that do, mm-hmm. but what about individuals who just have a passion? Is there a way, should they be becoming members or just grabbing the map and heading out?
So in terms of partner membership, that is, most of the constituents of that are like, say, the Backyard Restaurant in Forestville, who is an ideal partner member because he sources from our local farmers. Or
the Exchange Bank, I think. Are they?
The Exchange Bank, I would call them a sponsor.
Okay. good for them.
But like Western Farm, you know, feed
right,
stores.
Right, Western Farm Supply.
And, I mean, any business that's
to agriculture.
Connected to agriculture, absolutely. And then any individuals that want to participate, mm-hmm. we welcome that. We welcome volunteers. I should say at this point, we still need some volunteers for the Apple Fair. So please check out GravensteinAppleFair.com. And all the volunteer information is there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're talking. Hold that thought 1 second. Mm-hmm. We have one more cider to taste, so let's do that before it's over. So yes, and you work in how many hours are your shifts?
The shifts are, 3 to 4 hours.
Mm-hmm. And you get a T-shirt.
This year you get an apron.
Oh, an apron.
You get a complimentary beverage ticket for after your shift. And you get a weekend pass to the fair and parking for the weekend.
Oh, nice. That's really nice.
And it's a really sweet way to, for one, to support the Apple Fair, but to cultivate community, too. People really, I think, enjoy volunteering together.
And I'll tell you a hint. If you're an introvert and you get kind of freaked out in crowds, being a volunteer is the perfect way to get over it. Because I find, and I speak as an introvert, that's outgoing in my personality. If you have a role is like permission. Mm-hmm. And people always think that, well, if you're an introvert, you couldn't do public speaking. But no, you actually can, because being put on the stage, and it's like it's your turn to talk, you suddenly have permission, and it's okay, and you don't have to be shy and nervous. Mm-hmm. So if you're an introvert and would like to go and think, crowds freak me out, volunteering is really a good thing to do. What's admission these days?
Admission is 15 for adults, and it's 10 for kids, which is, we're considering a child to be 6 to 12. Children 5 and under are free. Mm-hmm. However, if you want discounted tickets, you can go to any of the Oliver's Markets, mm-hmm. or Copperfield's Books, even in Marin County in Napa. Uh-huh. And get tickets, $12 for adults and $8 for kids.
Oh, great.
Yeah, as long as they last. We might, you know.
Sure. And then the fair opens at 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock Saturday morning.
And ends at?
6 o'clock Saturday evening, and then it runs 10 to 5 on Sunday.
Sunday. Mm-hmm. And where is it?
And it's at Regal Ranch Regional Park in Sebastopol. So we feel so fortunate and really blessed to be entrusted with this beautiful space that has these incredible, you know, huge oak trees that provide all this very welcome shade, and it's a really, really sweet space.
Yeah, and it's just 1.3 miles from the center of downtown Sebastopol. I know this because you go out Bodega Highway to go to the fair, you turn right. To go to my house, you turn left. So it is 1.3 miles, and it's great. And it is coming up next weekend, Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
And I'll mention, hopefully I'm getting this right, Carmen, but then the Artisan Cheese Tent is an additional $20.
Thank you.
Oh, okay, thank you.
And that's... the folks get to pick which tasting they go to, I'm assuming, Carmen?
Yes. So the Artisan Cheese Tent, once you're inside the tent, except, you know, apart from the purchases that we hope you'll make from
your
local
food.
Producers
if
and the food
eat,
and beverages,
it.
All of the entertainment is free. The Artisan Cheese Tent is the only other ticketed experience within the fair, and it's $20 for this intimate setting experience with the cheesemaker and the libation producer. And you can get those online right now at Brown Paper Tickets, or when you get to the fair, you can, look at the menu, see what you'd like to taste, what time works best for you, and you can get it at the country store, which is located in the center of the fair, mm-hmm. where we sell the Farm Trails poster,
and
the Apple Fair posters and T-shirts and all that, tank tops. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I should also say that Farm Trails is up on their website, page about the Artisan Cheese Tent, and it lists the schedule along with the various cheese and libation producers that have been paired together, so folks can get a sense of who's going to be there and which ones they might want to attend.
Great. And I'll also be featuring this in my Friday column, Mouthful.
Okay.
So you can get that information there as well. Tell us about the cider that we're tasting now. This is the Nana Maize.
Yeah, so this is the Nana Maize Wild Side. Mm. It's also semi-still. This was bottled. It's a little sweeter than the first one. Both of these ciders are 100% Gravensteins. They're 100% organic Gravenstein apples grown in Sonoma County. And it's very same harvest, just a little bit sweeter. This was bottled earlier than the first one we tasted, and it's just a little sweeter.
Yeah, a little bit sweeter. It's nice, though. And when you say sweeter, it's not...
It's not sweet.
It's not like apple juice.
Yeah, it's not like apple juice. No, yeah. And our version of sweet is, you know, relative to wine, I think, and that for other people, they're not going to say it's too sweet at all.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of wine, we should do it just real... We don't have a lot of time left, but real quick, Dutton.
Yeah.
You're known for Chardonnays and Pinot Noir.
Yep. So I have a winery called Dutton Goldfield that I'm partners with Dan Goldfield, who is a longtime winemaker in Sonoma County. And we have a tasting room and winery on the corner of Creighton Road and Highway 116.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so sell lots of Pinot Noir and lots of Chardonnay.
Yeah, lovely Pinots. Really beautiful Pinots.
Thank you. Thank you. And my brother Joe and I, our main job is farming, and our biggest variety we farm is Chardonnay, and then Pinot Noir after that.
Yeah, but you don't use all your grapes. You also sell grapes. You sell a lot of your grapes.
Michelle, we sell most of our grapes. Less than 5% of the grapes get used in Dutton Goldfield.
Okay.
And then my brother has a winery called Dutton Estate. So between the two, it's less than 5% of
less
the grapes.
Less than 5%. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yes.
And open every day? Dutton Goldfield?
Winery is open every day. Uh-huh. It is.
Yes. Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks so much to all of you. I will get websites from all of our guests today, and I will put them up on Mouthful's Facebook page rather than repeating them all. So you can do that. I will try to have that up by tomorrow. And now I have a little bit of news for you. I was so excited about this. I hadn't gone to the county fair. I think I went 3 or 4 years ago. I quit going because those amazing soft tacos were gone. They redid the Mexican Village, and I went because I would sometimes pony up my admission fee. I'd walk over to the soft taco booth. I would, get a few. I think I topped out at 9. I would eat my tacos and I would go home. They're unique. They're not like, real tacos are soft. They're not like real Mexican tacos. There's something entirely different, and they're so good. Well, I found out that they're back. And I called up the assistant manager of the fair. She said, yes, they're back. Press pass, drove in, parked there at the office. She walked me over, introduced me to the people who own this place. And I got their story, and it's a really, really interesting story. How they came to... this couple came from Boise, Idaho, to work for the guy who started the booth in 1947.
Wow.
And it was called Soft Tacos at the County at the State Fair. And after working for him for 5 years, they bought the bill. He was older. It was his three sisters that developed this style of taco, which is rolled up, and it's this juicy, chopped, I don't think it's ground beef, I think it's chopped, a few spices, and shredded iceberg lettuce. That's all it is. And then they have hot sauce sitting on the table. You stick the nozzle in the taco and do it really slowly so that the hot sauce goes all the way down to the bottom, and wear clothes that you can get dripped on because it just drips down your arms and your hands and your face. And there's just nothing like them. And you eat them once a year. Well, they quit for a while because, first of all, the husband, Pez, he got sick. There was a health crisis. No, wait. I'm getting a little mixed up. Anyway, they opened a restaurant. They opened a restaurant in Stockton. They quit going to the fairs. They operated the restaurant for a while, and then he got sick. And at the same time, they were getting nonstop phone calls, not just from the Sonoma County Fair, but from all of the county fairs they go to. They sold the restaurant, and they are back. And they're on that big main stretch, and there's a big sign that says, Original Soft Tacos. So there's a big blog post about it at pantry.blogs.pressdemocrat.com. I tell the whole story with everybody's names, and I've already had people saying, oh, my God, I can take my father back to the fair. There are people who have been eating these tacos in Sonoma County since 1965. So, if you've been missing soft tacos, they are back. And on that note, we are out of time. I will be gone for 2 weeks, but I believe we're going to have Mary Carroll sitting in for me for the next 2 weeks, and then I will be back on, I guess that's... I don't know the date, but I'll be back before the end of the month. Go to the Graven Scene Apple Fair. Have a great time, and I'll see you 3 weeks from tonight here on Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour.
Children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough.
Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page.
Let it be.
We got some beans
and good cornbread. Listen to what the preacher says.
To the Lord, praises be.
Dinner now.